Okay, good morning. Today's class is in the Refuah Shleima of Chaleni Orna ben Chan Chana, also in the Unishma Yerchmil Dian of Gedalia, Succession Yashamayim Velasheva Barabaka, the Elden Sheva, Emin Velasheva Shefer, Velasheva Reda Makov Tobasha, and God willing, what else will announce? May 14th in LA, and God willing, June in New York. Please share and rate the podcast. Today we have a really, really great class from Rabbi Vincent Kagada. There's 100 lessons in here. It's incredible. But he's going to talk about really, really this concept of, you know, the lately, unless you're completely subdated to anything, there's a lot of heat out there. There's a lot of, you know, when you see the missiles in the air, like Rabbi Nachman says, the Zohar says, Man is a miniature world. So whatever you see on the outside of the world, it's happening on the inside of the world. You know, this is like real, real stuff happening. It's not just, you know, that's the news and this is my life. And everybody on their own level is going through some kind of situation where you're getting so squeezed. And the question is, what are you going? Are we going to squeeze back or are we going to completely get crushed? We are all in a sink or swim kind of concept right now. And actually, it's actually for the best. The reason why it's for your best is to get you to take some kind of action. And this is exactly what happened. This is exactly what happened in Egypt. Exactly what happened in Egypt. It started with Mar. Mar represents, and also, by the way, today, before we get to this, today's also the Scorpio energy. So today, out of the 12th month, what is Scorpio? Scorpio is also the name, Mar Cheshvan. Mar means bitter. I mean, bitter and is not bad, because bitter eventually gets you to, after bitterness comes peace. After bitterness, if you handle it right, there's growth and there's cleansing, etc. Bitter is not bad. That's what the Baal Shem Tov says. You should never say, I had a bad day. You should say, I had a bitter day. I had a bitter day, because bitter, mirut is actually a cleansing. It actually could do something to propel you one direction. Inaction is the worst thing we could do, because that's exactly the bite of the serpent. That's where we completely get knocked out. That's exactly what we're trying to prevent, is the ego, which is self-centeredness, which is leads to depression and anxiety. Again, all self, and that's the where when we turn that negative energy into a sense of action through bitterness, then that is the beginning of the redemption. And this is where it says, now it came to pass in those days that the king of Egypt died, and the children's side, precisely when they cried out, the process of redemption came. So you got to get to a point where I cannot deal with this anymore. I have to take some kind of action. Following this redemption of the voice, this needed to be a redemption of imagination. Because remember, after you take a sense of bitterness, then you got to go and say, okay, what do you want now? If this is bitter for you, what does a great life look like to you? What does a great relationship look like to you? What is living financial freedom look like to you? Once these cries, the cry saying that it's not good, even though they cannot even develop a language, a person needs to have these three things: dream, plan, and vision. It's the dream, and believe me, this works 1,000%. The hardest thing about this is not seeing the picture, because if when we're not seeing the clear picture, it's because we're not believing in the picture. And that's seeing, you know, believing. When you start believing something, you start seeing it. So that's where we have to work on. And why we have to constantly do it over and over again is because the more you do something, the more faith you have in something. And the more faith you have in something, the more eventually you will see it. But when we're doing this and saying, I don't see it, well, obviously you don't see it, because, like, you don't see your abs if you're eating, you know, if there's, they have to be. You have to reveal them. Things have to be revealed in life, etc. And usually what's stopping us from the revealing it is doubts. This is exactly what, remember, all of this work, if we think about it, was supposed to be done on Purim. From Purim to Passover, this is really the work of, okay, get rid of this doubts. You know, when we talk about Adar and doubts, it's not just, okay, don't doubt anymore. No, we're supposed to take this consciousness. Knowing that the oppression hurts and it's wrong is the first step towards freedom. No, recognizing it. Recognizing that the first thing, hearing out the pain, getting out of the place of yearning something new. We spoke already about many times that the yearning, what does yearning practically connect us to? The name of God called Ekyeh. That means before the Jews were Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei was revealed, what was the first name that God revealed? the name of Ekye. What does Ekye mean? I will be happy. I will be married. I will be successful. I will be. You have to start with the word, I will be. It's not just a positive motivation, I will be. It's actually, I will be. That allows you to allow, to create raw potential. So you have to ask yourself, instead of saying, I won't be, I will be. And again, the job of the ego itself, which we're going to talk about with Rav Ashlag's teachings, is the ego cannot handle faith. It cannot handle it. It cannot handle it because it's got, faith has no, faith means anything is possible. Where the ego says, well, this has to be like this, and it can't because it's I have to control it, and I have to rationalize. I can't rationalize a miracle. I can't control a miracle. So why should I get hurt? Do you understand? The ego, the way your brain thinks, it's just to protect you, but it's not to liberate you. Our brains are not, we have to go above our minds. We have to go completely above. You know, this is why there's so many now, you know, ayahuasca experiences and mush, because people need to get out of their brain. They gotta have to get out of their brains. Like, think about why this movement is happening. People can't get out of the rationality. Of course, you could do that all through hard work and prayer, that's the real thing that's gonna, but sometimes you need that, hey, there's something beyond your current situation. So again, number one, realizing how bad the situation is and crying out. Dreaming of a better reality and giving voice to articulating. We're going to talk about how to get to those three. So remember, realizing how bad the situation is. So you are in a situation that's, oh my God, this is a bad situation. Dreaming of a better reality. And third, giving a voice and articulating. Remember, dreams, vision, faith, it needs fuel. It doesn't live by itself. It actually needs fuel. Things need fuel. These three elements is exactly what was happening with Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. All three of them were exactly in this redemption. Why? Because all of these three had to go through. And this is the part in Micah. It says, I sent Moshe to lead you, and I also sent Aaron and Miriam. Tell me, I just sent Miriam. Why are these three in the picture? Because these three are all practically related. So Moshe, we're going to recognize with Moshe, the two cooked foods, the egg and the bone, correspond to Moshe and Aaron. And the bitter mar, in the Seder plates, the bitterness represents mar, which represents Miriam. Now why Miriam exactly? Because the word Miriam, look what it says, the Midrash says that the main apex, the worst of the worst of apex of enslavement of Kol Yisrael happened in the time of Miriam. And this is why her parents named her Miriam through Mar. Mar means bitterness. Now, what word does Mar also mean? We just said about Scorpio. Mar. Mar is the numerical value of 86. Okay? 86 is represents nature. Represents getting stuck getting stuck in my head, getting stuck in nature, getting stuck in my governments, in my armies, in my political. You could see, imagine being in the Israeli government today. You understand? I mean, this is, talk about Teva. Talk about being stuck in Mitzrayim. Talk about, you know, look what we got going on in America. This is stuckness. There's no, we can't even hope for a miracle. How could it even come? Because we're living in such a world of Teva. Another Midrash teaches that they embittered their lives and HaKadosh Baruch Hu established from them a Redeemer. So where is the first step? The first step is obviously to recognize, oh my God, I have nothing but God. I cannot save myself except for that. And I have to cry out to recognize that you gave me this situation. That means the importance of the Rav Ashlag says something very beautiful. The Baal HaSulam, he says, when you know your brokenness is from God, then you know your healing is also from God. Which is a very strong line. When you know your brokenness is from God, then also your healing will be from God. Like Reb Nachman says, if you believe you could destroy, then you also believe you can repair. He says it's the same thing. So if you believe it, it's only when we think it's outside of us. Moshe is admitted in order because we think about the redemption. Now, what does Moshe represent? Moshe represents, if you think about it, Moshe represents matzah. Moshe represents the detached intellect. That is the you. That's the goal. Moshe represents matzah. And if you think about matzah, matzah is made with three things, and it's missing one thing, right? It's made from fire, it's made from the earth, and it's also made from water, but it's missing the element of air. It's missing the element of inflation, ego. Understand? That's why it works. It's only the air and the practicality of this in our lives. It's the air we give to things. We give it a good air or we give it the wrong air. And that air, that's what does the air represent? That's our emotions, which are rooted in our heart. That air, what that means to you. That air either inflates the situation or completely says, no, this is all I have to deal with. I can handle it. You understand? Anxiety is really, it's the air. Can I handle this test or can I not handle this test? We'll determine if you are excited or you're anxious. It's pretty much these two. It's the air element, which is the ruach. Ruach shtut is the ruach of holy. No matter how, and this is what does Moshe represent? Moshe represents a free mind. Moshe represents a free mind. And therefore, listen to this line when he says something. Therefore, all the characters depicted in this story in Egypt are part of yourselves. For example, Paro, what does Paro represent? Your negative inclination and your stubborn ego. We all have that Paro inside of us, specifically Scorpios, Mar, Cheshvan. They don't like to change. They want to get, you understand? That is the Paro. I want to run away from Paro. I have to think of this is, Paro is my ego. When I'm reading the Haggadah, I can't think of Paro as a guy in Egypt. That's me. That's inside of me, Paro. The slavery of Kol Yisrael represents our slavery to our emotions, our passions, and our subjectivity. That is what represents your emotions today. When you hear the slavery, that's you're a slave to your anger, you're a slave to a validation, you're a slave to, right? We've said many times the game of life is to be free. The game of life is not to get high, as Ram Dass says. The game of life is to be free. It's to live in equanimity where you don't have that. However, Moshe's name does not appear in the text. Why? Because he does not represent, he's not part of us. He's a detached intellect. What that practically means is that is the your when you're looking at the situation as a third party, like you give your friends advice, right? Think about it. When we give our friends advice, we don't get so emotional. We don't get so attached. We're so detached from the situation because we're like, listen, I'm going to give you the truth. Imagine if we live our lives like that. Like, you understand? But when you're in the storm, it's very hard not to be a slave to something. So you understand? So Moshe represents the detached. That's the freedom. The freedom is the detached intellect. No matter how wise, detached, or objective a person is, his inner slavery is always going to assume his reality. And that's the bottom line. It's so think about Paro is our ego. Think about the slavery in culture is our emotions, our slavery to our emotions. So what does Moshe represent? Moshe represents the soul of the neshama. That's your neshama, which is in your intellect, which is in your brain, right? The liver represents your nefesh, which means the lowest part is in your liver. And your heart is your ruach, is your emotions. So each body part is connected. That's what we're always trying to subdue the liver, which is anger, which is etc. So Moshe represents the soul level of the neshama. As it says, Moshe is spelled Mem Shin Hei. And when we add the nun, it is neshama. Neshama. That's, there you go. Aaron, what does Aaron represent? He represented the emotions. Right? Another reason why Aaron also represents the wine, because wine arouses emotion, good or bad. Rabbi Nachman says many times, how do you know if wine is good for you or not good for you? If wine brings you to love of other people, it's good for you. It's expanded. But if wine is bringing you to hate people, then it's just exactly what money does to people. More money makes a person more of who they are. Either they're just fearful or they're abundant and gracious. It's, you understand? The wine and the money both do the same thing. It's they bring out more because why? They're both represent dam, means money, damim, and also wine is red too. It's which is a con. Why are these two things? It's because it comes from the side of gevura, which brings more out of you. What does Miriam represent? Mary represents the nefesh, which is the what Miriam is broken into two means, right? Maryam, the bitterness, right? Which represents the numerical value of 86. But she was also, you were going to do a whole class on her and woman, how she was also responsible for taking her bitterness and turning it into who is celebrating at the Red Sea? Miriam. So it's not all bad. This in this context, the bitterness in your life is God is telling us, I'm squeezing you so much that you have to start manifesting. You have to start wanting a better reality. It's not where the where you're in a situation today where the situation is not so bad. What do I have to pray for it? It has to be so bad that you're getting blitzed and you have to move. That is the situation we are in today. We are in the birth pangs of Mashiach without the strength to push anymore. That's the problem. So why are these three, why are Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam represent this? Because when you start getting this physical yearning, when I say I will be happy. I will be happy. You are now creating a cheshek. A cheshek represents a yearning. So the purpose of the maror that we are going through today is not to, God is not there to depress us. God is not there to overwhelm us. God wants us to take accountability. And each one, we're all getting tested according to our level, etc. But imagine, God forbid, being stuck as a hostage in a tunnel. You think you're just going to say, okay, we'll see when the IDF comes and I'll be saved. That's not the answer. The answer is to cry out from your heart. Like, you almost have to picture yourself. Like, you're in a situation where if one more day like this, I'm done. I can't do it. That's the kind of yelling and screaming that you have to have that your Creator wants from you. And that prayer is not a prayer of chesed, that's a prayer of din. And that's the prayer that's heard. So this is, again, as we say many times in Rav Nachman's teachings, you have to cry out to heaven. Like, you have to create, you have to almost sell heaven why they should save you. Why should you be saved? Why should you be saved? You have to create a sin. You have to create a scenario. Like I said, when I was single, I told God, I can't, if I don't get married, how am I going to not sin? So explain to me this situation. So you have to create a scenario in heaven where it's good for both, for heaven and for you. So again, back to the creativity. You have to stop getting on your phones all day long, and you need to be creative. You have to explain to you the importance of being creative. Creativity. You need creativity. In speech, in prayer, just like a good salesman is creative, you have to be creative in your words. And if you're lucky enough, if you hang around enough, what happens is God will eventually take over you, and He'll give you the words to say, which that's the key. Cheshek is the Miriam. The purpose of Miriam is to awaken the cheshek, is to awaken the prophecy, is to awaken the flow, is to awaken saying, I want a better life than this. You know, you tell a guy he's got to lose weight, you know, he's got diabetes, and then they tell him, by the way, you might lose a limb. Oh, that's a whole different story. Before it wasn't so bad. I have diabetes, but I could possibly lose an amputated limb? A limb? Oh, I get it. No more sugar. Versus, it's okay. What's the big deal? A leg or the chocolate cake? Then you have, that's what you have to say. What could my life look like? The second is Aaron. And Aaron, what Aaron does is Aaron starts giving, he starts building our emotions. You want to just close the door? What Aaron's doing is he's the heart. He's now telling you now to take this, start envisioning, start allowing, start manifesting, allow the flow from your heart. That's the second word, is building on that manifestation through music, through constant repeating it over and over. That's working the heart. And that represents the six emotions that we have. You want to just, if you don't mind. So this is why we have to speak it out. Right? Because remember, in order for me to sex it, is I have to physically speak it out. And that represents Aaron, that represents wine, that represents the second stage, which is speaking it out, feeling it and speaking it out. It's those emotions. Remember, prayer is emotion. Prayer is visioning. Prayer is emotion. It's not just you take a book and you read it here, and you look like you're reading the newspaper. No, it's something where you have to arouse. But again, when we see these rockets and we see what's going on with the 2-year-old and we're seeing situations that are pretty much, sink or swim kind of things. We're not in a situation of mediocre problems today. We are getting bombarded in life right now. And Reb Nachman says the reason for that is to get the pintily, to get the thing inside of you that's been burning, to turn on the fuel. That means that the worst case scenario that we ever get to, that means the worst thing we could do is be lazy and just be comfortable in life. That's the worst scenario. That is the worst scenario. Because when that happens, you'll eventually do nothing. You'll eventually fall harder. So if we can find a way to maybe reframe this and take a look at this and start developing and getting a sense of urgency, then we could take it. And the last step is Moshe. What is Moshe? Moshe represents the detached intellect. That's after you do the work, then you come to clarity. That's after you do the work, you end up getting that clarity. That's Dat. That's Moshe. That's Dat. That's that awareness. What does Moshe represent? Awareness. It's knowing. It's the level of neshama. It's the growth after an event. It's a neshama. And it represents the matzah. The matzah is no longer inflated. The matzah looks at something. The matzah is ma. Matzah. Ma. Ma. What is it? What? It's the highest level of knowledge. And that's why if we don't go to the Seder here with the matzah. No, matzah is, and what, by the way, Reb Nachman says the matzah represents faith. And what does matzah represent? Faith. Healing. That means there's actually healing properties in the matzah itself. Believe it or not. Why is there healing process? It's because there's no ego in the matzah. What do you think is making us sick in our lives? Is our ego. Where's the healing coming from? The soul. So when you're eating the matzah, you don't need anything. You don't need anything. If we recognize what's making us sick is the chametz. It's I need this more. I need that more. I need validation from this person. I need that one to love me. I need that one to. I need to look better for this. It's not the inner self. The inner self is, and this work is extremely hard. Because, you're looking at the world and you see what's happening in the world. But this is the key to everything. So again, number one step is try to find a way that you should take the bitterness the right way. Don't allow the bitterness to make you depressed. If the bitterness is making you depressed, we can't even get to number two or number three. That means if you do not handle the bitterness correctly, being from Hashem, you will not even get to anything else. That's it. that's the number one job. Do you understand? If we understand why the evil inclination loves a person that's depressed, he loves it. He loves it because he's knocked you out. Because if you don't believe in it and you don't believe in anything, are you going to sit there and speak out geula, speak out redemption? No, you're not because you don't believe in it. Right? Nobody's going to a 1 in 15 super. Nobody's going to a to see a team that's 1 in 10 and saying, when's the Super Bowl coming next year? They're like, what Super Bowl? There's no Super Bowl. There's nothing here. So you don't want to be that. You don't want to be that. And that's the first step. We all have a dose of bitterness. But if you notice, it's just a little bit of the dose. It's just to awaken you up. It's to you awaken you up. And then you have to go into the wine. Then you have to go into the believing and being, wine frees you up. Wine kills the ego. Wine kills the ego. Music kills the ego. All these things make us loosen up. And then we have to, after this, you give voice to this, then you get the detached intellect, which represents growth and represents that growth mindset that comes out of the bitterness where the problem became the solution. So I live this. So I could teach you a class, but I live these things. It's not even... I wish I could just teach it to you as a professor. I'm in the grind with you. And believe me, Hashem knows how to, he tests me just like you, sometimes with times triple X in a situation. Because if he knocks me out, he could get no podcast. So you could see how much we think we're getting bullied in Hashem. We're not getting bullied. It's the Yetzer Hara making things bigger than they are. And the last thing I want to say, which is another incredible lesson for Rabbi Natan, that don't throw out many times the job of the skinny cows and the fat cows. We know that the skinny cows ate the fat cows, right? When we're all going through a lot of pain in life, what happens is the skinny cows, they swallow up all the good that's been done for you by Hashem. God has done a lot of good for us, right? He's done a lot of good for us. That means a bad day somehow could swallow up a whole week. Like you had a good 3-4 days and a good week, and next thing you have a bad day, or even a bad moment swallows up sometimes a day. Right. Isn't it incredible? You could have like 85% of your day could be great. And then you have the 15%, seems to be that swallows up the 85%. That seems to be the pattern that's happening to all of us. So we have to also recognize, do not let the skinny cows, you know, eat the fat cows. Do not allow the small moments swallow the bad moments, swallow the good moments. Instead, we should take the main route and take it and thrive. Have a great day.
Amazing. Dali, I'm putting this